The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota. So little time.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
All right, people, let's do it. Lock Party's out. I'm your host, Mike Wall. Thanks for watching. If you're enjoying, hit that subscribe button on our YouTube channel, Process to Perform. Find me, Mike Wall 68 at Twitter, X. I think it should be called Twitter still. It's twitter.com. Anyways, Process to Perform on Instagram. Draft week's over, man. Thank God. Right? Right? Our show, as always, is hosted by Bet Online. Bet Online's your number one source for all your summer sports needs this season, from Major League Baseball, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. And I want to start with this. I'm always going, like, the draft is, you know, my kids are like, why is the draft so big? Because when I was growing up, I'll never forget, I think this is where the draft jumped the shark, was when Sam Bradford, I think he got drafted from Oklahoma to the Rams, is like number one pick. The dude made like $63 million. And I think, and he got hurt. And it's not that he was battered, he just got hurt. And I think people started going like, man, we're giving these rookies a lot of money for not playing, you know? And the NFLPA got involved, because obviously the vets wanted to get that money for them, not for the rookies. And so the salary started getting slotted. And then, for whatever reason, like, the draft blew up. It's like the second most watched thing aside from the Super Bowl now, the National Football League, which I have a hard time with. I just don't get, because it's just, there's so much speculation. It's like, why don't you just watch and see who they pick up, and then we can, you know, kind of break them down from there. I think that's what players do, quite frankly, unless you're like, you know, you're really afraid that the guy's going to get drafted and take your job. But then I saw that guys like Bet Online are, you could place prop bets on where people are going to get drafted, who's drafted. I'm like, oh my God. And I didn't get on it this year, but I'm telling you what, next year, I think that's probably going to be my avenue, because that is just absolutely gnarly. But like I said, we can talk about real players now, potentially adding value to this Green Bay Packers football team. The Packers entered the draft, I think, with some specific needs. I think they kind of consensus. You're looking at safety, you're looking at linebacker, possibly defensive tackle. You're looking at, in my opinion, an interior offensive lineman, and certainly a change of pace running back. And we addressed everything on the surface. You never know how this stuff's going to play out, but my initial reaction is that Goody hit this thing out of the park, man. As far as, you know, I got questions about different draft picks, and you can like some people, you don't. The way it fell, I think the first 14 or 15, you know, were offensive players. And I mean, Like you, I can't imagine sitting in the green room being a defensive guy and like numbers are just being counted off. You're like, I'm better than him. I'm better than him. I'm better than him. But it didn't matter. It's just, there's just a run on offensive guys that was gnarly. Obviously seeing offensive linemen, like so many offensive linemen getting taken early and just, you know, we've talked about this for the last couple of years, the level of value of an offensive, you don't see a lot of offensive linemen go free agent anymore. You don't see a lot of them get traded. If they're good, they don't go anywhere. And when they do go somewhere, they get these blockbuster deals now because it's just such a vital position in the sport that I think everybody always kind of appreciated, but it's not sexy, but it's as sexy as it's ever been. Like we're, you know, red food with the big ass fro, right? Sexy. And I know it. It's as sexy as we've ever been to be an offensive lineman right now. I mean, with the money, with the high draft status, with just the profile, it's nuts. I absolutely love it. Here's how I look at the draft. Go back to our reports on Zach Tom. There was some serious confusion on my end, this is a couple of years ago now, on how a guy like that lasts as long as he does. Because you look at the athleticism, you look at all of the tangibles, you look at the intangibles, and we talked about it back then. Like that, I said 2 years that kid's gonna be a starter, sure enough, and he's our best lineman. And it's not like you watched two series of tape on him. You go, this kid's really good. I don't know what the hell everybody else is missing. And we're going to get to a couple kids like that on this film. But the first three rounds, you kind of look at them and go, these guys, unless they really, really screw up, they're going to make the final roster. Unless the first three guys really make some egregious error, you know, I'm talking about like drunk driving, you know, sleep with the coach's daughter, you know, something really bad, they're probably making the football team. The reason being, there's a lot of commitment, but there's also a lot of, you know, Ron Wolf wrote in his book, like, you can't get rid of your first round draft pick. Like, you can't admit that you made that mistake, because as soon as you do, there's blood in the water, sharks start coming, and they're going to take your job. So there's a couple different reasons there. And I could kind of point to some guys back in the day. I remember Terrence Marshall came in. I think it was a third round pick out of Oklahoma, linebacker. And he ended up having a couple good years with us. But I just remember early thinking like, this is a guy that could probably may not make the team if he's not picked where he's at. Now, he ended up earning the spot and playing well, and he was a good teammate, and I really like him. But, you know, sometimes like I did too. Actually, I shouldn't say him. I wouldn't have made the team if I was in a second round draft pick because I was from Navy. Athletically, I had all the tools. I had literally zero technique, literally zero football IQ when it came to playing in the National Football League as far as that kind of offense, right? Running the option at the academy. So I'm a guy where being drafted that high ends up maybe later in your career being justified, but earlier in your career, you start going like I was really lucky to be drafted into a situation where I could develop, which a lot of guys in second round aren't able to do. But given kind of where I'm at coming in from day one, if you saw my day one practice, you'd be like, this guy's a free agent. I mean, he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Now, the later round guys, there's always a but with them. Like they're athletic, but they're underdeveloped, maybe technically, like I was. Maybe they have good tape, but they played at a small school. Maybe they're really good football players, but they have this like limited athletic ceiling. Limited against world-class athletes, mind you, but every one of these guys has proven that they're athletic enough to play. But when you start looking at later round guys, are you looking at projects? Are you looking at special team guys? Are you looking at guys with like high athletic ceilings that don't know how to play yet? Are you looking at guys that are like the linebacker who was also the wrestler in high school, who's the coach's kid, who does everything right, and he's probably going to be a backup linebacker and a special teams guy. We might be able to drag 3 years out of him until a second contract. And, you know, then we cycle through a bunch of those guys, and that's how we fill out the back end of our roster. So for that reason, we're going to focus really on the first three rounds of the guys we brought in. I just want to give you a couple clips of each guy, kind of break down what I see, what they're good at, what their areas of opportunity are, what they might need for development, what the impact looks like maybe right away, what it looks like in the next couple of years. Remember this, okay? All of these guys are, over their careers, probably the caliber of a starting football player for a national football team, which you can't say about every player. But just like Lucas Van Ness, like he's not a starter right away. Probably not a starter next year, if we're just being honest. Like a lot of people have Preston Smith moved to the outside linebacker. Or like the Sam. Quite frankly, I think he's probably still a rotational guy. The Packers don't think about, and this brings me into Jordan Morgan. The Packers don't think about first-round picks like some other guys do. And maybe it's because they're at 25. They're always like drafting pretty late in the round. But when you think about a first-round pick as a player, as you think about a first-round pick as a fan, I remember they brought in Jamal Reynolds at 10, and you're like, we already got some – like we just drafted Vonnie Holiday a couple of years. We got some guys over there already. Where's he going to play? Now, he turned out to be too small and blah, 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 blah. I wasn't really into football. But my point is when you bring a guy like that in, it's like he's got to contribute right away. That's what my knock on – not knock, but my commentary on Van Ness was last year. Was like, why do you bring a guy in first round who's not going to give you – kind of a first round grade after a year. And it's like Goody has that job security, doesn't have an owner breathing down his neck, has this longer term view of, we think you're going to look back in 3 years and think he was a steal. And so we're going to look at it like that and not look at it like, if he doesn't play enough snaps this year, we're all going to get fired, which is quite frankly what a lot of teams have to do, teams with bad ownership. And we're, you know, we're very, very lucky that they don't have to do that here in Green Bay. So to start then with Jordan Morgan, and we'll watch some of this tape. You probably watched the breakdown I did on Jordan Morgan pre-draft. And if you have it, I'll put it in the notes. The bottom line is this. I just wrote, you know, good athlete, good football player, not outstanding at any particular like physical act. Like there's nothing that you go, oh man, this guy's better than everybody else doing this for a first round draft pick. But he does bend really well. He's got a really good center of gravity. He's an athletic kid. You can tell that I know some guys at Arizona, so I'm telling you this as, you know, my insider guys. The kid's a good kid who works his ass off. Everybody loves him. Coaches love him. Teammates love him. Locker room guy. But he works his ass off. He deserves to get, you know, he deserves everything that's coming to him. He was not developed. I'm just telling you this now. Again, I've watched him. I know. He was not developed at Arizona from an offensive line standpoint to the level that it takes to be good in the NFL. Like this, he had Pete Carroll's kid Brennan for most of the time he was there. He's not a technician. So this guy is not a technician. He's got a lot of issues with hands. He's got some issues with his sets. Everything's fixable, but like it's there. It jumps out on tape. I think that when you're not properly developed in college. And then you got all this other social media. I can parse out these clips and you're good at this. You're good at that. There's a lot of guys in Green Bay who were kind of like, or fans at least, that were like, what are we doing drafting this guy? Because there's so many clips of him getting bull rushed in the Senior Bowl and blah, blah, blah. But the reality is most of these guys, just like I go back to myself, like if you figure out the technique part, you're a good athlete. Well, you're going to have a good productive career and you're going to be a good player, right? Zach Tom, same thing. Takes a little time to figure out what technique works for you. Rashid Walker last year, same thing. Takes out some time to figure out like what works for you from a set standpoint, where you're going to put your hands. Once you figure it out, like, oh, he's pretty good. So with that being said, I talked about this before. I don't think there were a lot of tackles in this draft that were going to be able to supplant either of those guys unless the job's given to them, which they might do. But if the job's not given to him, I think he's got a better chance to play guard next year because he's got good bend and there's an open guard spot, quite frankly. If I was him, I'd come in thinking I was a guard. Which is unique for Green Bay, but it's not unique to bring in a tackle in college and go play him inside. I did the same thing, although it was optional. But a lot of guys do that. So, you know, with that said, let's watch some tape on him. And I just put this, I think he's two hands away from being a really good player. And what I mean by that is, you know, the details matter at the next level, and we'll see his first step in his initial first step here, steps forward, and his hands are almost always catching in an outside position. So bad first step. But you just see the athleticism and his ability. Look, the quarterback's swinging around here. As you guys know, I just put on tape. I'm not trying to pick up clips and point out things. Or I'm trying to just watch some tape, point out things I see. You know, I don't care about scheme. I don't care about opponent. I care about movement. I care about technique. I care about behaviors. That's what's going to make you successful at the next level. So same thing. It's all fixable, but it's important. Hands are down, showing his chest. Heels are clicking together. So bad footwork, bad hands. But he's still able, you know, to kind of get to a lot of spots that he feels comfortable in. He can redirect on the arm over coming back inside. Like, he's a good athlete. And, you know, Goody's probably looking at this like, hey, listen, I'm just going to keep drafting good athletes. You guys got to make the best of them. You know, I figure out, like, obviously you're trying to bring in a lot of team captains, both in the free agency period, and it was Xavier McKinney and Jacobs, obviously. But then also in this draft, there's a lot of guys that are captains of their team. So that's important to them. I've heard the term workout warrior with a couple of these guys. So that's important to them. So you're just like, again, behaviors matter just as much as like their initial technical ability. Cause quite frankly, like, this guy's technique is not very good, but it's not like, you know, he's got Stanovich there. You know, he's an offensive coordinator. He's got, you know, Butkus maybe is, you know, time will tell. Right. But you've got guys there, you've got players there. You know, maybe Bakhtiari sits around for an extra year and just, he comes back as like a mentor, right? Wouldn't that be amazing if you had an ex-player actually coaching these guys how to play football? So this stuff is all fixable for sure. So we got the two-point stance here, and it's just like, it's hands. He loses with his hands are outside all the time, and he's a strong guy, but you just want to win hands. Oh, well, the guy got opened up, huh? Wowzers. And see, I think I'll show this one from the end zone because it's more obvious. Like, this is not a sustainable pass set in the National Football League. Here we go. Number 77, number one in your hearts here. Like, we're worried about the process, not the outcome. So quarterback's getting flushed from the pocket because of what's going on the right side of the field. Don't worry about that. What we're worried about is, like, if your face is in, he's got you beat. You know, he's beat the arms, he's beat the shoulders, he's beat the hips. Like, he's beat right here, regardless of where the quarterback is. So we're worried about how do we get to the point where we've punched it extended, we're in a better body position, right? Pre-contact so we can be better post-contact. Like, how do we fix all that? Is it fixable? The short answer is yes, because he has good bend. He does have good feet. He's a good athlete. I think he ran like a 5.04, right? So he's running around that 5 point where he's not quite sub-5, but he's good enough. Boy, it was a dark day here. Is it in the shade? What's going on? But you see the athleticism. You just don't want to see that kind of technical work. The hips don't lie, man. Shakira here, right? So, boy, I'll tell you what. Gerard Piqué cheating on Shakira. It's like, who are you cheating on her with? Unbelievable. Anyways, so we got the down block here. He just demolishes this guy. Drops him, creates the hole. The guy was slanting, just helped him out. You see him do a lot of one-arm kind of hip toss stuff, and he's got it, right? He's just got those hips. The guys that they drafted this weekend, man, if you said one thing about the group collectively, it's like, man, the hips are good. Good work here. Now, he doesn't get this cut off, and the only reason he didn't get this cut off is because he steps underneath himself with his inside foot. So his right foot furthest away from us on the screen takes a poor first step, so ends up missing this guy on the slant, right? Just needs to have a better first step. Again, coachable, but you got to coach the details. We talked about this last year when the O-line was struggling early in the season. Now, this is the big thing, and technique is the way that we display our passion and our love for the game through precision, accuracy, and violence, okay? So you want to be the hammer here by using your technical aptitude, right? And what he does, and this isn't an important play, but he just gets, like, you never want to get pushed back like that in that situation. You want to be the hammer. You want to be able to use your hands. And that's just a big picture thing with this guy is, you know, get a better punch, marry your hands with your feet, get your hands inside. You're going to be a pretty good player. So for me, there's not a spot on the line today where he's the starter. For me, you're looking at him and going, I might want to compete at guard with Sean Ryan. He's a better athlete. Sean's obviously, there's a lot more mass there. So it just depends what they want. They can do a lot with this kid though. If they put him out at left tackle and he beats out Rashid Walker, like, I for one will be shocked unless they're giving him the job because he's the first round pick. I would be shocked because I just, when I watch that film and I watch Rashid's film against pro guys, I think Rashid's better right now for next season. Now, what that looks like in a couple of years, I don't know. Usually with a first round pick at the offensive line position, you think you're going to get some reps this first year. Listen, they rotated last year. It ended up, you know, somewhat working out. With John Rennie Jr. and Sean Ryan. So maybe they do that again. I don't know. Certainly there's another guy that they drafted that we can talk about a little bit later that could, you know, kind of throw something into the mix as well as far as putting Myers over at guard, whatever. But interesting stuff, man. there was a lot of guys on the board that there's a lot of players that I looked at I don't look at every player, but there was a lot of players that I did look at that I was like, oh man, if they pick this up, this is going to be big time in that first round. And that brings me to Edgerrin Cooper. Edgerrin Cooper didn't make the cut for me when we looked at linebackers, really for two reasons, and really probably the latter more than the former. The first, that he is too small for me. Like, I can't wrap my head around a 230-pound linebacker. When Nick Barnett came in at 235, I was like, are you at – you're crazy. I know that's kind of the way of the world now, but for us, it's just tough because now you're bringing back more 21 and 13 personnel. Guys are going to run downhill. There's fullbacks in the game. Like, that part of it is hard. And again, I'm not going to watch, 20 linebackers because what do I care? Because now I can watch the guy that matters because he's on the team. But the second thing is, quite frankly, I didn't think, there was 14 or 15 offensive players drafted in the first round in a row. I didn't think he'd be there because he was consensus the best guy. And I just didn't think the Packers would be in the market. Now, I'll say this. I'll be really interested to see the kid Peyton, the NC State kid who ran fast, and he's like 10 pounds bigger than this kid. He had some ACLs. I'll be interested to see how their careers go. As far as, and it matters where you go and who coaches you and all that stuff. But I thought that guy was like super, super talented. Now, having said that, this dude is fun to watch on tape. There's some good and there's some bad, but just generally speaking, if I give you my initial like versus Quay's tape when I watched Quay, and I think Quay is a good player coming out of college, obviously. Right? This guy's awesome. I call this guy War Daddy, man. This guy is ready for action. Okay, so first of all, he is playing downhill, downhill, downhill as much as possible, sometimes to his detriment, okay? But like for me, I want to see plays made at or behind the line of scrimmage as much as possible. And I'll say this, I put him at the Alabama game because I was with a guy this weekend who plays in the NFL, who played at A&M, and I asked him specifically about this guy. He goes, watch the Alabama game, okay? Alabama's a good team. They're going to be an offensive line. Really, really elite-level quarterback from an athletic standpoint, so they got to do some things differently. They dogged him way, way too much, in my opinion, against this team, so we'll see a couple of those. However, I know exactly why he said to watch this tape. You just see the way this guy moves around, underneath, behind, and then it makes the play of the line of scrimmage. You love it. Okay. So they run a little back door and he gets washed. Okay. So this is kind of some of the stuff where you got to be a little more physical. Okay. They got multiple guys on him. Happens sometimes. Really, he's not getting beat here. The defensive tackle made a decision to go back door and that kind of screwed the play. This is what everybody watches. This is on the highlight. You put a guy like this in positions to excel. So he was either dogging or running spy because of their quarterback a lot. But man, when he gets going, I mean, this all happens very quickly. When you're watching this stuff on a live tape, man, must improve. This is one of those things that they brought him so much because, I'm thinking like, okay, well, Quay actually dogs really well. This is one of his strengths. And when I watched this guy, dude, the Alabama guys, quite frankly, like they had zero problem picking him up. And I think it's because it's the 230 thing for me. All right, two ships in the night here, man. Like, right idea, super aggressive, got a breakdown, though. And he just runs right by him. Ends up getting in a little bit on the play with a shoestring. You see the speed. You see the vision now. We got the guard tackle coming down. He's got to make the mesh read, follow the quarterback. And these are the plays you just love, man, because he reads so well and he's so sudden after the read. It's not it's the processing information, the speed of process. The speed at which he processes this is awesome. And when he goes, watch this as opposed to some of the stuff we've seen for the last couple of years in Green Bay. When he goes, man, like I'm going towards the line of scrimmage. I'm going to I want to meet you on your side of the blue line every time. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But the mindset, he's a missile. Same thing here. This is a pro-style play, right? We got the double pull with the leader at the backside, tight end, and the guard coming through. And just shed. Then stands the guy up in the hole, ends up making the play. It's just fantastic. Okay? So we see a little bit of this. They dogged him so many times in this game that we see a couple different looks, and a lot of people are like, oh, he lined up off the edge. Dude, he's not like an edge rusher. Like, let's not get it twisted, okay? But you know, he's got a little something to him as far as suddenness. He can give you a little something. Here's another one where you got a lot of these. They ran so many of them that you got to win some of these reps. You see the running back comes over and just, I mean, really, this is the one knock is like he's only 230. And so running back standing him up in the hole, I mean, it happens a lot. And listen, the Alabama guys are, you know, might as well be pro guys as well, I'm sure. But you got to get a little bit better if you're going to have that kind of action. This is another one. And this is where Quay's really good. And he's just getting kind of, he's not winning a lot of these reps, and they brought him a lot. And I, you know, he ends up getting home on one of these. I think it might be the next one. Yeah. He just comes off the edge and makes the play. And everyone's like, oh, great job. Like you still got to make the play. Don't get me wrong. And he's fast, athletic, but like, this is not as big a deal as the other ones. Cause you got to be able to beat that running back a little bit more. And listen, they might be telling him at A&M, hey, listen, you got to bull rush the running back. We don't want him to slip out late because this quarterback's so elusive. So I might be watching this incorrectly. They might be going, hey, you got to run right into him and you got to hold him up and you're not allowed to beat him. But I seriously doubt it. I seriously doubt it. You see the vision. And again, I love this play. You see how he just pops around this, and it's not that he misses the play. Okay. It's okay. I just like the way he got there because we can always get a little bit tighter to the crease. But again, he's so aggressive downhill. And listen, you're going to miss some plays. And this is a big play he missed. No question about it. Okay. But the aggressiveness. And then, so now all you're doing is like, you're starting with a really aggressive guy and you're refining him down to be more technical from a footwork standpoint. No problem. And this is just an incredible play. So he starts at the line of scrimmage, drops, reads, comes back, beats everybody, ends up making the play, man. That's it. Love it. Absolutely love that. Love that play. And it's nuts that this guy was available. I mean, quite frankly, just nuts this guy was available. Again, I think it's Peyton Wilson, the kid from NC State. But when you watch this guy's tape, you do see, hey, the kid, he's definitely a special player. Definitely a special player. Now, here's my favorite draft pick. I'll save the preview. Javon Bullard. If I'm cutting the safety position, Darnell Savage, it's at 200 pounds. So he's too small for me already. Maybe 205. All right. This is a very violent position. And my concern is not that you can't find a violent player under 200. It's that you can't find a violent player that will stay healthy under 200. Okay. So I'm going to say that right now. He's too small for me. Okay. That said, the only negative you find on this guy is undersized. This dude is a football player, jumps off the screen. Absolutely. He's great. He's fluid. He's got ability to match up in the slot. He covers the crossers. He's good in man. He's as good as man in man as any safety you're going to find. He's got great eyes. He's not afraid of contact. He's violent. Like, I hope they add some body armor to this guy because he is, I love watching this guy play football. I love watching this. I don't say that about a lot of dudes. I love watching this guy play football. Do not sleep on this man. First things first, number one thing for the Green Bay Packers the last couple of years, can you fill the alley and make plays? This guy's unequivocally yes. And violent. Can you hold up against the deep crosser, right? Justin Jefferson, can you hold up? He's there. Absolutely. The ball's not to him. Don't get me wrong. He's there, right? You're going to have to make a high, high, high level throw. Now, pulling guard versus a safety is a mismatch. That is as good a mismatch as I can get. Okay. Especially this guy's not Adrian Wilson, right? This is not 240. This isn't Cam Chancellor. This guy's 198 pounds. Technique plus athleticism equals aggressive run support. And I spelled aggressive wrong because I was so excited. What an idiot. Two hands locked out. Ends up getting on this play. Are you kidding me? Love it. I just put this in because I'll go back now that you see where he is. I just put this in because he just creeps up on this wide receiver. He's going to try to block him. He just blocks the wide receiver. Bop! Lock you out. Right? Not even part of the play. I don't care. I love his hands, man. He is well coached. Look how he stabs the receiver. Maintains his leverage point. Is not going to give up ground until the running back gets outside. So he's going to force that running back to make a ridiculous cut. Or he's got to run to the sideline because he just plants that wide receiver stock block right in the chest, right? Goes right through him. Okay. Puts a post right through him. I mean, this is clinic tape, guys. This is all from like, when I watch tape, I watch like a couple series. Dude, there's so much clinic tape on this tape from this guy. And we talk about 40 times. Let me pick up this guy's 40 time because it was okay, right? It's like 4-4 something. I say okay, right? Like I can't, like I've never seen a 4-4 in my life. So he ran a 4.47 according to this. So that's good, right? That's actually better than a couple of the guys last year, I think, dropped because they were under 4.5s. But, you know, it's not like 4.2 or something. But this dude plays, I mean, he plays fast and he's fluid. Field speed is real speed. Got here. He's just not worried about getting his hands dirty. And I just absolutely love this play. We got the puller. Just, I mean, again, tight end on 198-pound save. This dude is not here to play around. Gets out on the tackle, man. I was like fist pumping watching that tape. Again, I don't watch all this tape, right? So, you want to come for like good analysis, you come after the draft for me, right? I'll watch a handful of guys, but I was fist pumping after this tape. This guy is awesome. I don't know what kind of, you know, who knows where we're going to put. Here's the cool thing about him. Now you got a guy who played the star position at Bama, Xavier McKinney, okay? You got this guy who plays the slot and the safety position at Georgia. You're starting to create, and Nixon. So now you got three dudes that hypothetically you can put them wherever you want. Nixon, you're back. We'll put McKinney on the slot. Bullard, you're in the box. Roll. What do you want to do now? You can use those three guys. They never have to leave the field if you're going to run nickel. Rotate, rotate, rotate. Hey, we want to rock and roll. Guy comes over. We want to switch slot positions. We want to play any kind of coverage you want. We can do anything you want because I don't feel like I'm outgunned anywhere when I got those three guys on the field playing the slot. Because that's the one that matters. The slot corner now is like a starting corner. Get paid like it almost. I mean, it's an important position. You got three dudes that can play that spot now. That is monster, monster, monster. I don't know what they're going to call it in half of his offense or defense, but that is a monster deal. Okay. Let's go to the next guy who is electric, okay? We talked about getting a change of pace guy. And Marshawn Lloyd is absolutely electric on tape. Okay. Not as polished as some of the other running backs. There are some things in his game that you're like, okay, I get why he was, you know, I think a third round pick. All right. But 220 pounds, runs a 4.4, and looks faster on tape. And when he does field vision, when he's got it, patience setting up blocks. But let's say it again. He's 220. But he don't run. He runs like he's 205 until he puts his pads down. Then it's nine nights time. Okay, let's just. I would guess that third down is this guy's already. Like they're walking in. They're like, "Hey, you're our third down back. What else do you want to fight for?" Because he's like that kind of talent. And I read some stat, and I don't have it right, so I won't say it. But he's a tackle evasion machine. Like he had the most, like more people missed tackles on him. Per snap than anybody in the national in the NCAA last year. I should say the NIL. First play, we got the guard tackle pull, and it's going nine nights, baby. Going nine nights because it is over. Not catching this kid. Unbelievable. And I love that he wears zero, by the way. So sometimes he sets up his blockers, sometimes he doesn't. But right here, great setup, good vision, and just, I mean, this kid is fast, 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 fast. Fight on, baby. Fight on. All right, here we go. Same double pull. Now we got the lead with the tight end. Now you got four blockers. Gets hit at the, 23? Makes it down to the 18. This is an NFL defensive front. Very simple. You see this. We call it, some people call it penny, depending on who's in the game. But you got five down with a linebacker in the middle, so six in the box. NFL defensive front. Listen, the USC Trojans do a good job of moving humans here. But look at the way they finish this play. First of all, this is a great form tackle by whoever's on defense here. The safety, unbelievable. Rotates out and gets four more, though. I mean, runs behind those pads, man. This guy's got some juice to him. And then you see this all over tape. Like, first man misses stat is ridiculous. I mean, that guy's on air. That's terrible, right? Terrible, terrible. Great job by our man. Now, got some stuff here you don't like. Like this. Like, okay, you made the mistake. Now jump on the ball. Got some problems. Okay, so there's one you got to fix. And again, I'm not like trying to handpick this stuff out. I'm just watching tape. This came up very, very shortly thereafter where you had another fumble. So we're here to learn. So we got some issues. Look, I know another Packers Hall of Fame running back that had some fumble issues early in his career as well. Turns out he just happened to be the all-time leading rusher, right? So we're here to learn. And these things can be improved on. This is all coachable stuff. But this guy, when you talk about a change of pace guy, I wasn't thinking 220. But I'll tell you what, man, this guy can scoot. He's definitely a change of pace guy. I think he's got third down. You know, I shouldn't say that now because of, you know, the pass catching ability. But you just think, like, you know, you start watching, like, last year, I think Atlanta, they start off, they replay both their backs at the same time. And, like, you just think of the different format. Like, dude, you all of a sudden have, like, a 21 personnel with two halfbacks in the game. I mean, how do you match up? That guy is a matchup nightmare if he can catch the ball. Now, he didn't have a lot of catches in college. And listen, you're playing the Caleb Williams show. It's a little bit different, right? But undeniable talent. Now, Tyron Hopper, the knock on both of the guys we drafted at linebacker earlier, they're too small to get off blocks. The same knocks on him, okay? The Packers are going to always go with range over kind of block destruction. And it's kind of what you expect from Goody, right? So, or any general manager, like, this is the kind of guy I like. Like, what – If you ask any, you know, coach, general manager, personnel guy, like, hey, what do you like in an athlete? They're going to be like, explosive, fast. You know, they're never going to be like, oh, great block destruction. Some guys might say play downhill, you know, like Cooper does. But what, you know, from a personnel standpoint, you're kind of looking for like more physical traits and then like the captain thing and all that, some of the intangibles. Maybe even more so than some of the technical stuff like we talked about with Morgan, because you're just thinking like, I can it's coaching staff, go coach him right now. The linebacker position, I don't know how great of a job we've done over the last couple of years. I mean, they did have an all pro year from Devondre, but then again, you know, the way that he talked about the last couple of seasons also makes you scratch your head as well. And, you know, I don't necessarily know how I feel about, you know, Quay's development up to this point from a coaching standpoint. I do know that, you know, when you put him on dogs, he looks really good. Put him on downhill, you know, run fits, he looks really good. Still going to get him, you know, a little bit better in block destruction. So I didn't put I didn't put some tape together on Tyron Hooper. We probably will at some point. The reason I didn't do it, quite frankly, is because we drafted a kid from Duke. And this kid named Jacob Monk, and I wanted to add him to the breakdown because he's an offensive lineman and we're special people. You know, where I think is a really, really high-level prospect. Let's see. Let me get the stats on him real quick. And I know there's other guys that we drafted, and I know this is not fair, but this is what I do. It's my show. Round 5, pick 163. Now, when we talk about Jacob Monk, this is another guy where you turn on the tape. And I'm watching the tape and I'm going, okay, like I can see why he dropped to the fifth round, I guess. But if I'm really being honest about how he moves, okay, first of all, what, 5-year starter, 3-year team captain, all ACC three, like he's got stats, right? He runs around a 5 flat, 5.140. He's got double knee braces on. He has 31 reps on the bench. He's got decent numbers. You know, the RAS stuff is kind of, I'm having a hard time with the RAS stuff because it factors in like hand size. It's ridiculous. But I feel the way about this guy as I feel about Zach Tom a couple years ago, where you're going, oh, they just picked up a 5th-round kid that's going to start in 3 years, maybe 2, because he doesn't have good footwork, but he's got incredible feet. He's got really good bend. He's explosive. He played through his hips, right? He's a starting caliber player in the 3 years or less. You heard it here first. I don't get what GMs are looking at. Like, why do you want maybe you don't want a guy running around at 308 pounds. I'm going to read you something that I saw on like one of these draft profile things, because it's so ridiculous. They want a guy lumbering around at 330 who can't move, gets beat because he's got bad hands and leans, doesn't have good footwork. This guy's got 31 reps on the bench, runs a five second 40, weighs 308 pounds, has played for 5 years, has pretty good, and can only improve from the technical standpoint because he's at Duke and now he's going to go to the Green Bay Packers. Listen to this scouting report. Where do I even have it up, or did I throw it away? I might have thrown it away. Oh, maybe it's over here. Real quick. Okay, stats, 509. 1.66 yard split, which is really good for an offensive lineman, okay? Prospect grade, this is for NFL.com. 5.91 average backup or special teamer. Like, are you kidding? And then I saw this. There's a video of this. I don't know who that guy is, but good Lord. He's going to have trouble with bulky 2-gappers who can snap punch into him and quickly separate. However, 1-gapping defenders have their hands full. Like, do you know how easy it is to block a 2-gapper? Like, have you ever played football before in your life? You know how easy it is to block a 2-gap? Oh, my God. And by the way, he's going to play center in the National Football League, guys. Newsflash. He played guard and center at Duke. He's going to play center. Again, this is not rocket science. Kid's a 5-year starter. He's playing center. Let's watch some tape. I like this kid. He's got a ways to go. Really? High ceiling project, okay? I've got a couple snaps here at guard. He's got good feet but bad footwork, so he steps ahead. Guy's got beat on the arm over, wins with the inside hand. You see his hands are all over. He's a strong kid, doesn't play with strong hands, okay? You see he's got that like weird hand on his knee stance because he really wants to play center. Look at the hips, though, man. Look at the contact, dip, pop, pop, little snap. Love it. Love it. Just got to get violent with these hands, right? There's a lot of catching with the hands. There's a lot of kind of, doing this like forklift thing. It's like, man, snap those things, bro. Punch and extend, baby. Look at this great second step in leverage. So his feet are connected here. Now, I don't know if I can hit it fast enough. Look how fast he gets that second step down. And because of that, now you can essentially hip toss this guy backside. So he goes backside drag hand, hip tops him back and starts driving. Dude, that's such a big time play that nobody notices because you take that first step. If your first step's too long, you're sunk. If your second step's in the air when you get hit, you're sunk. Okay. Because that guy's penetrating fast. He's just trying to get hit in that A-gap. That is a great, that's not a good job. That's a great job on a block that nobody pays attention to. It's fantastic. This is the stuff I don't love, right? Coachable area, turns early, lets the guy get his hands on him early. All right, ball gets off. But again, we're looking at process, not outcome. It's a bad technique here. So the defensive tackle goes inside just because, this is why you don't teach like all these multiple sets, man. Get a good set, punch and extend, get your feet underneath you, both feet in the ground when you punch, Same thing here, just get squared to the line of scrimmage. Being a better body, it's body position and hands and footwork, right? And this is all teachable stuff for sure teachable stuff. Now we're at the center position. He puts that left arm out. We see a lot of guys do that, and like everybody thinks they're doing a good job of like feeling it, but here's the deal, like everyone's just trying to chop your arm. That's all that's happening there. It's not helping you. Don't catch because you got a weak hip. Now you got to attack. Does a much better job here. Great leverage, pop, punch and extend, and look at him sink into that and drive that guy away. He gets the job done here. Play doesn't look like it. So linebacker gets a run through, but he's actually trying to go to the running back's trying to go to the left hip of the center here. He does a great job of a base drive. He's winning this drive block. I mean, and it's a big time drive block because it's just like the last guy said, oh, this isn't a true two gap, but the guy's not trying to penetrate. He's trying to snap and extend. And he does a great job here. Again, I'm not cherry picking anything, but he does a great job. The play doesn't work out how he wants, but he does a phenomenal job of holding his ground there. So probably not a starter right away, but man, really good project, strong. 31 bench press means you're like over 400 on bench, which is like, you know, get you in the door for sure. So there's some other guys here that I should mention, but I'm not going to, because I want to get some listener questions. There was a lot of them after the draft. Thank you as always, guys, for bringing these in. So let me hit a couple of these. Got to get in the own phone machine here. Could you do some video showing us examples of Dylan might be using it for more of a fullback role? Well, here's the problem with that. And I'm not saying he can't do it, and I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying one of the knocks is Aaron Jones ran harder, like behind his pads more. So if you're thinking fullback, you guys think Juszczyk, right? I think Ricard or like old school Lorenzo Neal, right? I'm thinking violent, right? I don't know if he's like, is he a violent guy? And does AJ Dillon think of himself as a fullback? I don't think so. What do we got here? There was a lot of talk on that helmet thing. I don't know. Okay. What's a prospect gets drafted? Do they speak with their position coach right away if they wish to find out what they could work on prior to leading up to training camp? I think a lot of draftees would be chomping in the bits. Good work, right? No. So they're actually in the building relatively quickly. And they go through like an indoctrination period. I don't know exactly how it is with the Packers, but they go through this indoctrination period where they'll talk to like the video guy and like the player engagement guy and their coaching staff, and they start learning the playbook. And so, yeah, you would hope that a good coach would be like, all right, look, I've watched every film on you. Here's the two things I want you to work on. Here's how we're going to do it. Like with my guys, you got a plan. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to do it 10 minutes a day. Here's how it's going to work. Blah, 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 blah. Here's our progression. Here's why we're doing it. Full explanation. Learn how to own your own stuff. And then we'll then obviously start. The big thing for, I think, college guys is learn how to watch tape like a pro. That's the big thing. And the sooner they do that, the better. Question, Buller playing nickel somewhere in the Packers movement. They say they want safety and nickel interchangeable. I talked about this already, right? So it's, you got three guys now that are able to kind of play both safety positions and the nickel slot in Keyshawn, Xavier McKinney, and then obviously Javon Buller coming in. So you've got three guys that have experience at all three positions. That's going to be a real asset to you because you can now mix and match personnel, mix and match with specific players. The kind of defenses you run, your playbook expands from a defensive coordinator standpoint because you got guys that can do everything very, very easily. How much of an expectancy do first and particularly second round picks have to start back then and now? Well, I talked about this earlier. It really depends on your position and the backup. Like Lucas Van Ness had, there was no expectation that Lucas Van Ness was going to start next year or last year, probably even this year, right? So it just depends by the team. So Goody doesn't think about it that way necessarily. I think the personal expectations for everybody is to come in and try to start, and you want to get in. The sooner you start, the sooner you get to your second contract, really. So you're trying to get there as fast as you can, but you know, a lot of it is just based on where you're at, where your development's at. And most of these guys are like 22 years old on average. So they're so young, you know, really you're going to peak physically 27, 28, 29 years old. And then it's like a question of, can you get your mental up to your physical at that point? And so obviously the more reps you get matters, but sitting behind some guys and learning some really good dudes, like good mentors, that really helps as well for, you know, guys like me who came out from a place that doesn't know anything about like pass setting, like that kind of stuff's a big deal. I'm interested in the center. Monk, can he replace Myers in 25 and keep Tom? Tom's not going to play tackle. Maybe in 2025. I think in the next 2 or 3 years, the guy starts. I think he's starting caliber player. Yeah, for sure. For absolutely for sure. I think, you know, I see a pathway to him starting before Jordan Morgan, which I know is not going to happen given where they were drafted. And again, I'm not dumping on Jordan Morgan at all. I just think, like, I think it's hard for him to start a tackle. I think it's more realistic with Myers leaving, you know, contract year, that this guy starts at center in 2025 than anything. I could be wrong. Balaga was on William Tausch talking about how shorter arms can be overcome with technique. Guys, real quick, the short arms things, this is where data gets wasted. So what's happened is you take measurements of everything. Then you look at players that have problems with stuff and they go, oh, it's because they have short arms. Like if you have unrealistically short arms, it's a problem. But like one arm's longer than two. If I reach to you, I'm going to be able to get you no matter what. Right. So if you're going to try the long arm stab, like you're not going to be able to get my pads either way. So it's all a technical thing. It's body, it's pre-contact body position, footwork, etc. How you punch, how you use your hands. Are you able to like wipe hands off? Are you able to attack elbows and wrists just like the defensive ends and tackles do? It's such an overused stat because guys who really don't know what they're looking at are on TV too often because I mean they got nice suits and they're talking about stuff that, you know, quite frankly, like there's not a single player in the National Football League who's like, oh, hey, man, I can't wait to attack this guy's arms are so short. Now, if you play a guy that has really, really long arms, it sucks. But it doesn't there's like one or two guys that are outliers that have, like Calais Campbell would be one of those guys. It's like, he's an outlier. He's so big. So on the other end, there's outliers where they're so small that you're like, oh, I really have to worry about this because like everybody's got way too long arms for that player. But the majority of the guys they're talking about was like, oh, arms are too short. It's like, no, they're not. They're really not. You just have to, the way that we teach pass pro is so poor because a lot of coaches teach it upright. So it's like, yeah, you're punching out like this all the time instead of punching low to high. We can get into that in another conversation, but it's like the technique they teach is so poor. The body position is so poor. Like no other sport, no other position in any sport in the world tries to look like some of these coaches teaching pass pro. But that's why, you know, the good guys make a lot of money and the bad guys don't because they can't overcome their arm length because they're sitting straight up and down. Starting five O-line way too early prediction, please. And as a former O-lineman, how tough is it to learn another spot on the line? It's harder to flip sides because the, you know, right hand, left hand thing, because your footwork, everything changes than going like guard to tackle. Like, because generally now, especially with the geometry of the pocket, it's not that different. Prediction is Walker, Jenkins, Myers, Ryan, Zach Tom out the gate. It might change. Jordan Morgan, I think they might put him at guard, but it's hard to start. You really got to show his hands are not good. And so you really have to like – Tauscher is the only player I've ever seen in my life who can lose every rep. Like he can have outside hands every single rep and win every single rep. Like I don't know if you'll ever see another guy like that. He just had a very, very unique way of his center of gravity, his bends. Like he was just – like Tauscher is like – one of the freakiest athletes that you'd never know was a freaky athlete. Just the way that he can move was unique. And I don't know. I don't think this isn't the same. Although you do see some of that like weight distribution model when he has to sit and like sink his hips and all that. Like he does that really well. I think he was 311 pounds. It might be tough at guard without the technique work, which would put Ryan ahead of him right now. Fred Morgan uses his hands badly. Yeah, we showed it. He says he's already had people coach him to apply his hands. Well, no, he hasn't, quite frankly. Like the development in college is not very good. That's weird to hear, but it's true, man. Like Gino, the coach from UConn says this all the time. He's like, there's really, really bad coaches. And he's talking about the basketball. He's like, there's really, really bad coaches in the professional ranks. There's really, really bad coaches in college. And there's some really, really good coaches in the high school ranks that nobody will ever know about. And that's the absolute truth. I'm overly interested in the guy from Duke. Yeah, so am I. How long does it take a veteran like you to know if a rookie has what it takes to make it in the NFL? First day of practice, first week. Okay, here's what it is. Depends on the position, obviously. But for like an offensive lineman, I'll go back to Tausch. So Tausch was playing against Vonnie Holiday every day in training camp, and he was a rookie. And like I've told the story before, like everybody thought like they picked him up because he was from Wisconsin, like a feel-good story. Because he was like really, really late round. Nobody knew who he was. He didn't lose a single rep the entire training camp. I don't think he lost a rep for like 4 years. I think Campman, like his year, like literally like maybe Tauscher's like fourth or fifth year was like the first time he lost a rep in one-on-ones in training camp. It was to Aaron Campman, who ended up being all pro that year, right? So like there's these like signs where you go, oh man, this guy's getting pretty good. Now there's guys that are obvious, like when Laremy Tunsil got drafted by Miami, everyone's like, oh, he's the best. He's the best player. I mean, Pouncey was there, but like as far as non-center guys, you're like, oh, he moves better than everybody else. Or like when Chad showed up, and everyone's like, oh, he's three, like Mike Flanagan and I, who, you know, athletic guys, he could get three kicks in the time that we got two, and we were faster than like 99% of the people in the NFL for our positions. And he could get three kicks before we can get two. We're like, oh, he weighs 15 pounds more than us. He's a better human. So it kind of happens. I know it kind of happens pretty fast. Smart sharks smell sharks, right? How do you think Xavier McKinney will influence the new guys at safety? Positively, he's the team captain. All these guys are. I just think we don't know a lot about the defense, but I just think it's really exciting to think about having multiple guys in the backfield that can do a lot of things well. And these guys can do a lot of things well. I think that's the biggest thing about McKinney. Actually, when you sit there and watch tape on him, he just does a lot of things really well, and he can play in a lot of different positions. The Giants we showed before, like, I don't really love how he comes off, you know, when he blitzes. Like, I don't really love his like pass rush kind of blitz stuff. But he can play at the line of scrimmage. He can play at the second level. He can play in the back. He's got great range. He's a good tackler. You know, so he does a lot of stuff really, really well. And they've used him in the blitz, even though you'd like to get him, you'd like to see him with some like better moves, I guess. And I think you're going to be able to say that about all three guys. Can Morgan survive or thrive at left tackle in the NFL? Yeah, so I kind of answered this already. I think the short answer is he can play left tackle, but we kind of saw it on tape. Like, you're going to, a lot of the stuff that you can get away with in the college games. Like, you get away with a lot of, like, people get beat in the NFL and nobody notices, right? Because the ball gets off. So it's like, you're always worried about the outcome, not worried about the process. That's why you come here. Hopefully you want to see, all right, are we actually getting better? What do these guys need to work on? Like, it's like, how do you beat somebody or how do you make them better? You're only worried about two things, really. And I think he can do it. It's just there's some work to be done. It starts with your feet. And then how do your feet and your hands marry up? What's your take on Goody going so heavy on team captains? Yeah, I think it's a good deal, man. And here's why. I don't know. I've never really felt, and I think Matt LaFleur showed his coaching stripes last year, and there's no doubt about that. But I also think they have a very, very strong locker room that just got a lot weaker with Aaron Jones leaving. And I think this is a player-led team, or it needs to be a player-led team, just based on the personality of the head coach and based on the goals and the ambitions for this team. If a Super Bowl team is usually a player-led team, right? And so that locker room needs to be strong. You need to have leadership in there that can get along with everybody. So that's what I think is maybe most important, and that's why Goody's looking at that stuff, and that's why it's such a priority for him. And usually those guys are pretty good players as well, right? Like, you need water carriers on your team. Not everybody's going to be an all-pro. You need guys that are just willing to do the dirty work, and he's certainly willing to do – those guys are usually ready to do that, if that makes sense. Do I have any more here from you guys? The marshmallow helmet thing. Here's the last one. What's the biggest surprise that I have from watching the film? It was Javon Bullard. I thought Javon Bullard was really good. I think all these guys are like interesting for their different reasons. And look, like, I'm not really good at, should this guy be drafted here? Like, can he play football or not? You know, for me, the linebacker steps in right now and has some traits that I would put him on the field day one. I might put him on the field against anybody you have right now and let him figure it out. Like, I think he's got that kind of ceiling. We'll see who coaches him. Bullard's a day one walk out with the position, learn it right now. I think it's a no-brainer. Marshawn is a day one. You're the backup. You are already better than AJ. As far as we can do some things with you, we can't do with him. And he only is averaging 4.8 yards a carry in a really, really weak defense, you know, these days. So I think that's kind of where it's at. First rounder, I don't see him. He's not a day on walk. He's a second team guy right now. You could probably try him at different positions. he's just got a ton of technical work to do. If he bears down and works on it, you know, he's certainly got everything else. I have nothing disparaging to say about him in the sense that he's a football player and he's going to make it in the National Football League. There's no doubt in my mind. The timing will be interesting because of like where we're at with some of these guys. And then the last guy I talked about, center from Duke, Jacob Monk. I think that in 3 years from now, he starts on a team. If it's not this team, then he's just because he's gotten traded. I don't think he's going anywhere. He's got too good of hips. He's strong. He's got good feet, bad footwork, right? And you just see that all over the board with a lot of people. Good feet, bad footwork. And good feet, bad footwork is very fit. Like, you know who had good feet, bad footwork? Shaq Mason, back when he was with the Patriots. You know, and he had Skarnecchia, and then, you know, you kind of work that out. Now he's been, I don't know how many years he's been in the league now. He's really damn good. He was really good last year, okay? So you got that kind of guy. I'd be excited about that opportunity. So thanks to our sponsor, Bet Online. Guys, it's an exciting time for the locker room, for the organization, for the fan base. You know, now it's just figuring out where these pieces are. And, you know, everyone's going to want to live or die with one video clip and this and that. And I get it. Hopefully you come over here and get something a little more balanced. And if you're enjoying this, man, please subscribe, rate, and review. Hit me up at MikeWall68 on Twitter. Prostitute Perform on Instagram. If you would have any questions about the show, any questions about the team, any questions about the National Football League.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted. Where I felt adventures pulse with every step. And where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota. So little time.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.